ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। So we'll chant Bhajagovindam, verses 16 to 20. We'll chant before 16, the chorus, and when we conclude 20 also, we'll chant the chorus. Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhajamudamate, Samprapte sannihite kale, Nahi nahi rakshate duprintarane. अग्रे वन्नि पृष्ठे भानुरात्रौ चुभुक समर्पित जानुः करतल भिक्षस्तरुतल वासः तदपि न मुञ्चत्याशा पाशः कुरुते गंगा सागर गमनं व्रत परिपालनमतवादानं ज्ञानविहीनः सर्वमतेन तिन्न भजति जन्मशतेन सुरमन्दिरतरुमूलनिवासः शय्याभूतलमजिनं वासः सर्वपरिग्रहभोगत्यागः कस्य सुखं न करोति विरागः योगरतो वा भोगरतो वा सङ्गरतो वा सङ्गविहीनः यस्य ब्रह्मणि रमते चित्तं नन्दति नन्दति नन्दतेव भगवद्गीता किञ्चित् गीता गङ्गाजललवकणिका पीता सकृदपि येन मुरारिसमर्चा क्रियते तस्य यमेन न चर्चा भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते सम्प्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति दुःखकरणे। भज गोविन्दं विच इज कॉल्ड एज मोह मुद्रा दि वन विच अफ्लिक्ट्स द डिल्यूशन देयर इज सम काइंड ऑफ अ फीडबैक Now it's fine. Yeah. So this is a very small text by Adi Shankara. It has only about 31 shlokas. But these shlokas, when we reflect deeply on these shlokas, it makes us think. It makes us develop detachment with reference to the world. Detachment, the word detachment kind of puts off people. In fact, that is what makes them get scared of Vedanta. The term detachment actually means placing the right value. So a sannyasi has placed the right value for the world. And he or she has decided to follow the higher values of life full time. So it's a lifestyle for which lifestyle, a committed lifestyle. So they are not getting into the worldly activities. But they have nothing against the world. Now, when you have something against the world, then you do not have the right value for the world. In fact, you have given more value to the world. Because, carefully when you think, when you are against the world means, there is some kind of a value you are giving to the world. That's why you want to be away from it. You neither look up to it nor look down on it. Something that is at the practical level you are living here, you have to deal with it. You deal with it and get out. You don't have an exaggerated opinion or value for this world. That is called sannyas. That's called detachment. So, placing the right value on the world is called detachment. So, when you really reflect on these verses, they give you that detachment, that sense of detachment with reference to the world. When you have that sense of detachment, you really rule the roost. In fact, Swami Ramtita says, the way to gain anything is to lose it. The day you learn this quotation that Swami Ramtita says and put it into practice in your life turns into a blessing. You will have both the peace and prosperity and productivity. The way to gain anything is to lose it. It's our attachment that makes us go through suffering. It's not the world. World is incapable of giving us pain. But when we get attached to the world, that attachment causes suffering. That attachment causes pain. So if we want to really detach from the world, we need the knowledge of the higher. We need to pause and ponder and question and think. And then we develop the detachment. So this Bhajagovindam text, as you know, it was born when Adi Shankara was walking on the banks of the Ganges in Varanasi. He saw an old man trying to memorize the grammar rules. So that is when he says, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhajamudamate, Samprapte, Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukrin Karan. When the appointed time comes, when you are about to leave this world, you know, during your death time, none of this will come with you. So why are you investing all your life in the non-essentials? So he's saying while you deal with this world, you should focus and establish yourself in the essentials of life. So the first verse was a chorus. Then from verse number 2 to verse number 13, that is 12 verses, given by Adi Shankara. So verse number 1 to 13 given by Adi Shankara, the Guru. Then 14 to 27 given by each of Adi Shankara's disciples, one verse each. And then 28, 29, 30, 31. The concluding verses given by the Guru, blessing the students, develop detachment with the world, develop right perspective, right goal in life, and march towards the goal and be successful in that. That is the entire summary of the Bhajagovinda. So in 14, one of the students cautioned, he says, one with matted locks, one with head shaven, one with hair pulled out, one disguised variously with awkward robes. A fool though seeing, he sees not. Indeed, the varied disguise is for the sake of belly. So here, one of the students is saying, people get attached to the external aspects of religion. They hardly get into the real spirit of religion. So he says, one with matted locks, one who doesn't really cut his hair, allows it to grow, and one with the head shaven. The other opposite is completely shaven. One pulls hair one by one so that it doesn't grow back. See, in spirituality, there is something to do with his hair. You have the brahmacharis having very little hair. They have a small tuft. So a lot of people have this thing, you know, why is it that either they grow hair, beard, no shaving, nothing, or completely shaven? Or you have very little hair. What is all this? See, the idea here is, hair symbolizes desires. You know, when you have a certain hair style, it is attributing to your ego. The moment you remove all the hair or you don't care about the hair style, you just allow it to grow, that means what? You have risen above the desire. And when a brahmachari has very little desires and those desires are only to realize the self, that is symbolically expressed by him having a small tuft. So it really is only symbolic. Whether you grow hair without shaving or completely shave or just have little hair, these are only symbolic. It doesn't matter. It has no meaning without you having overcome the desire. So here the student is saying, without having overcome the desire, you just follow these things symbolically, it means nothing. Variously disguising an awkward robe for the sake of belly, for survival. Because, you know, the society allows only the Brahmachari, sannyasi can live on alms. But a grahastha cannot live on alms. So by taking up awkward robes, you can do nothing but be dependent on the world. So for that sake, don't do this. A fool though seeing, not seeing. What it means is, even though you are in the so-called spiritual field, yet you have nothing to do with it. So having come so close, instead of going into the meanings of it, you get lost in the outward charms of religion. So indeed, the various disguise for the sake of belly, all this will not work, is what he says. One student said in verse number 14. In 15, 16 and 17, he wants to say, different students, three students talk now, 15, 16, 17. They say, indulgence will not work. Strict asceticism, abstinence without mental growth will not work. Or a mechanical ritualistic practice will not work. This is the problem. One set of people, they don't turn spiritual. Other set of people who claim to have turned spiritual, they remain in the spiritual field, either mechanically they exist. Even in our, you know, the Jnana Marga, which is predominantly Jnana Marga that we follow, even here you can become mechanical. Just mechanically you read, you go through the text, one text after another, have a sense of feeling that you've completed one book, another book, another book. It becomes very mechanical. In fact, one of the most important traits of a spiritual person is awareness. Becoming original. You can never follow somebody else's dictation. You will follow only your conviction. Not out of ego, that only I will follow my conviction, I don't care about what others say. No. Even what your guru says, even in the Bhagavad Gita we saw this, Yatechasi Tata Kuru, says Sri Krishna. Means what? Having reflected, that's what he says in that verse, having reflected on what I said, you do what you like. You do what you like means you do what you're convinced about. So religion gives you tremendous freedom because your original nature is absolute freedom and your original nature is absolute awareness. So when you grow yourself in spiritual field, that sense of awareness should be there. Whatever you do, you don't do it mechanically. You do it with full awareness, with total attention. But majority just, what do you call, mechanical. Like all the rituals. It's not only in Hinduism. In many religion, every religion, many of us, we simply follow things mechanically. We don't get to the meaning. For example, we do yajna at home. You know, Agnihotra and all that, there is this kind of practice is going on at home every day or during the celebrations and functions, this, that. But we say in Vedanta, in spirituality, we say that Atithi Devo Bhava. Who really considers Atithi as Deva? We talk about Panchamaha Yajna, if you remember. You know, Brahma Yajna, Deva Yajna, all this Manushya Yajna, Pitru Yajna. I mean, we tend to do this Pitru Yajna once the Pitrus are dead and gone. But we will very sincerely follow the Shraddh and all that. I'm not saying you should not follow. You should follow. But do it, with awareness, not mechanically. But what are you doing to your parents and grandfather and grandmother when they're alive? Hardly anybody spends time with them. Hardly you have any gratitude or any values that they lived for, you follow. But then once they are dead and gone, then you will mechanically follow the Shraddh. So there seems to be more of these kind of things in every religion. So that is being talked about in 15, 16 and 17. So the 15th verse that we saw, one of the students says, the body has become decrepit. Head has turned grey. Mouth rendered toothless, clasping a staff. The old man moves about, yet the mass of desires leaves not. So one fellow takes to the lifestyle of complete shunning. Another fellow, complete indulgence. As if by indulgence one can get rid of the desires. That's tremendous indulgence. That is what he's talking about here. The body has become decrepit because of indulgence. Same thing with head and tooth and all that he gives. All these are symbolic representations of a person indulging in the world, but the desires have not gone. The body grows and becomes old. So he's clasping a staff, he cannot stand on his own feet. Yet the desire is enough. You can't call yourself a grown up. By default, we will become adults, but we won't become mature by default. We need to put in the effort, we need to properly think and grow. So therefore he says, through indulgence, you can't get there. Otherwise it's very easy. Simple, just go mechanically indulge. See, to be able to rise above anything, when you contact it, you should be full in. Otherwise, how will you rise above it? What do you know about it to rise above? So, when you contact an object guilt-free with complete awareness, then you see it from the beginning till the end. Then you say, oh, this much only is there in it. For this, I'm selling my life. Is it worth it? Then the detachment will come. Whether it is cigarette or chocolate or whatever it might be. While you are eating, if your thoughts are somewhere else, you are talking on the phone and this and that, you are mechanically, you know, opening the, you take the chocolate from the fridge, you open the wrapper and then you put it in your mouth, you're mechanically going through. How will the craving go? You will believe deeply that there is joy in it. But if you go through this experience mindfully, if you are in that contact fully, when you are in it 100% present there, then you would have seen what was the state before, what happened when you contacted it, what is happening after that. When you fully you go through with awareness, then you know what is there in it. You can then talk about and say whether there is something in it or not. So therefore, really speaking, it is not increasing the number of contact. This is the problem in the world. The more I contact, I think the more I enjoy my life. It's not the more I contact. It is how I contact. When I contact with awareness, even if it is one contact, I register it fully. And when I register it fully, I go through that experience totally. As a result, I know what it is worth. So then I can say, if there is something in it or not, that is when I develop detachment. But people think by indulgence, the more I run around, more I gather, more I contact, I think I will become free from these things. No. In fact, your desires only will increase. That's what he says. Yet the mass of desires leaves not. Verse number 16. Agre vanni prishte bhanuhu ratrau chubukasa marpita januhu. Agre vanni prishte bhanuhu ratrau chubukasa marpita januhu. Karatala bhikshastarutala vasah tadapina munchatya shapashah. Karatala bhikshastarutala vasah tadapina munchatya shapashah. Agre vanni prishte bhanuhu ratrau chubukasa marpita januhu. Karatala bhikshastarutala vasah tadapina munchatya shapashah. Agre vannihi, fire in the front, the sun behind. Prishte bhanuhu ratrau chubukasa marpita januhu. Knees tucked to chin at night, receding arms in palms, living under the trees. Yet the band of desires leaves not. So all he wants to say is, desire can only leave because of knowledge. No desire will leave merely through action or through withdrawal. You cannot rise above the desire through withdrawal, nor can you rise above the desire through indulgence. It's only through knowledge can you rise above. That's why in the Vedanta Treatise book, Swamiji gives this example under the topic, how to gain wisdom. How do you gain wisdom? He says, it's like the process of making curd. When you make the curd, the milk should be lukewarm. Milk is compared to a mind, sattvic mind, pure white sattvic mind. The mind cannot be rajasic, too hot, highly into the world. From morning till night, all the time only thinking about worldly stuff and fully engaged in the worldly thing. That mind is not ready to take in knowledge. Similarly, a tamasic mind, which is indolent, lazy, lethargic, that mind is also not qualified to receive knowledge. So how the mind should be? It should be sattvic, pure milk, pure white, not too hot, not too cold, warm. Grahastha mindset, where you are doing action as a dedication to the totality, to the Lord. The Lord lives in every being, so you dedicate your action for every being, that's called Karma Yoga. So that mind is compared to lukewarm mind. You are not in the world to merely acquire. You are not in the world only to indulge. You are not in the world to laze and indulge in others' work. You put in your efforts as a contribution to the society and you take what comes as prasad. This state of mind is called a lukewarm mind. Lukewarm milk, it's compared to that lukewarm milk, you add little jamun. Similarly, to that lukewarm state of mind, sattvic mind, you add a little knowledge in the early hours of the day. So after adding the jamun, what do? You leave it overnight. The next day, it becomes curd. So similarly, you bring yourself first to a lukewarm mind. Lukewarm mind you can come to through Karma Yoga. So in Grahastha Ashrama, you follow Karma Yoga predominantly and then you bring yourself to a sattvic state. And then you add a little knowledge. Think about it, reflect, live it. Go live in the world, continue doing Karma Yoga. Slowly, you do this on a daily basis. The knowledge gets converted into wisdom. Wisdom in the sense becomes curd. So that is the process of converting the knowledge into wisdom. Which means when you are wise, you rise above desires. When you are knowledgeable, not necessary. But when you are wise, you have certainly risen above the desire. So, action is not going to help you to get rid of the desire, nor inaction, only knowledge. So, lifestyle of, you know, matted law or indulgence or what he talks about here, a simple living, fire in front, he's talking about extreme cold conditions, what do? You know, simple living, you're living under the tree, you have no shelter. There is no home for yourself. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, one of the qualities we studied, he talked about an evolved person as Aniketa. Aniketa means homeless. In fact, Aniketa is the name of Lord Shiva also. So, when you call yourself Aniketa, homeless, so I don't have any home. He's not saying that you don't have home, but you have a lot of homes in Binami's name. Not that. What he's saying is, strictly he doesn't have any home, either in his name or in Binami's name. So, living in alms, receiving alms and living for his sustenance, and for that he doesn't even have a begging bowl. Living in alms in palms, receiving alms in palms means he doesn't even have a begging bowl. No possessions, no shelter. Very, very basic, simple living. In fact, it's very, very interesting. Those who run after money, remember this, run after money. I'm talking about those who crave for money, not the rich. The one who has exaggerated value for richness and runs after that, they will secretly be more attracted to people who have given up the world. It's very interesting. When a pendulum swings towards the right side, it is actually gathering momentum to swing towards the left. When it's swinging towards the left, it is actually gathering momentum to swing towards the right. So this way, those who are swinging towards the worldly attractions, they are actually getting attracted towards people, what he's talking about. Simple. He should be wearing, he or she should be wearing no chappals. Then they will look at them as if they're great swamis. They may be, incidentally, I'm not saying everybody who is living simply means they are not true swamis. They're all fakes. Not necessarily. They may be true swamis also. But he's talking about somebody who only does that. So he says, fire in front, the sun behind, knees tucked to chin at night. He doesn't even have proper protection for his body. Receiving arms in palms, living under trees. There's no address, permanent address. So no Aadhaar card for him in modern context. Yet the band of desires leaves not. Because Ditta, you do all these things but no knowledge. What is the use? Remember, simple living with high thoughts. Simple living per se, if it's going to give you, a lot of people do this, they torture themselves. If you walk on, you know, fire, sit on nails, stand in one leg, hang upside down, you know, poke yourself with something through your mouth. All these kind of practices people have. Thank God not everybody understands that as spirituality. Otherwise, to test whether you are spiritual or not, they probably make you hang upside down. So, it is not simple living. You see, the term brahmachari, for example. Again, this term brahmachari is also misunderstood. Brahmachari means brahmacharati iti brahmachari. One who walks in the path of Brahman, that's called brahmachari. One who dedicates one's life to attain Brahman. So a student is called as brahmachari. So a brahmachari would lead a simple life so that it helps him to focus on the higher. Unnecessary, you know, I don't want too many commitments, then I will not be able to focus and study. So since his focus is on studying, reflecting, discussing about these things, he doesn't want to get involved in too many things. So brahmacharati iti brahmachari. But they don't understand like this. Brahmachari means one who refrains from all these things. So, per se, if you just refrain, but you're not walking the path of Brahman, how do you become brahmachari? So, you may be leading a simple life, forced simple life, because of wrong understanding of spirituality. As if you torture, God will say, oh my God, this poor fellow is torturing. So let me go and bless him and let me make him realize the self. Nothing like that will happen. In fact, by doing such practices, you are actually catering to your own ego. You know, I have nothing. When you say you have nothing, you have the tremendous ego which compensates for everything that you don't have. This is a very different kind of ego. This is more dangerous than the fellow who has ego to have everything. That fellow may also be egoistic. Out of ego, he wants to amass more and more and more and swell. But at least he is declaring to the world openly that he is like that. But this is a very dangerous thing. I don't have anything. I don't do this. I don't do that. You know, that sort of a thing is even more dangerous. And you get that inner kick. That ego is even terrible. Spirituality is destroying the ego. But this kind of thing pampers your ego even more. So therefore, he says, living in all this, you know, simple tree, under the tree, and know this thing, know that, no possessions. Per se, what is the use? You got to have such a lifestyle if you think that will help you to gain knowledge. Even in your, you know, like in our Vedanta also we say, simplify your life. Why complicate it? See, Shakespeare says, costly thy life that thy purse can buy. costly thy life that thy purse can buy. Be rich, not gaudy. It's one of the most fascinating advices. Costly the habits that their purse can buy means costly. Don't make your life that your credit card can buy. Live within your means. That's what it means. And then be rich, not gaudy. Be rich. You're at a certain level. You need, let's say you are a managing director or a chairman or whatever you are. You need X amount of, you know, this kind of, you need these suits and this, that, whatever clothes, how many shoes you want, what kind of sports you play, you decide that. And within your means, if you need 10, provide 12 or 13. Standardize stuff. And once you standardize and you have provided, then how does it matter whether there is any sale going on or not going? Buy one, get two free. You already have 1,000 stuff in your cupboard. Why do you want to go and stand in the queue to buy one, get two free? So you have simplified your life. So it really doesn't matter. So when sale is going on, this is going on, that is going on, it doesn't disturb you. So for that reason, you simplify so that you can focus on your work and your goal. So simplifying without a goal is madness. So that's what he's talking about. These guys, they just mechanically do this kind of living with abstinence, physical abstinence, but mental abstinence is not. So yet the desires doesn't go. Why? Because there is no effort in gaining the knowledge. There is no reflection on the higher. Unless and until you do reflection on the higher, how does it matter? You can sit in the ashram and don't do any reflection on Atma, you will never get to Brahma. And you may not be in ashram. You may be working in a movie theater, but all the time you are thinking of Brahman, you will get there. So it's not where you are, it's what your thoughts are. So to be able to take your thoughts to those higher aspects of life, there are certain lifestyles that are conducive. Follow that. That's all they're saying. They're not saying give up. As if giving up, immediately God says, oh, this fellow has given up everything. Now I have to go and protect him. These are all very immature thoughts. So therefore he says, yet the band of desires leaves not. So in 15 he talked about indulgence. In 16 he talks about abstinence, a withdrawn life, a simple life bereft of higher knowledge. That also will not work. Bereft of higher knowledge, nothing will work. Next. Verse 17. Purute Ganga Sagara Gamanam Vrata Paripalanam Atavadanam. Purute Ganga Sagara Gamanam Vrata Paripalanam Atavadanam. Jnana Vihinaha Sarvamatena Muktim Na Bhajati Janmashatena. Jnana Vihinaha Sarvamatena Muktim na bhajati janmashatena. Purute Ganga Sagara Gamanam Vrata Paripalanam Atavadanam. Jnana Vihinaha Sarvamatena Muktim na bhajati janmashatena. Now, in this verse, he's talking about following the religious practices mechanically. Now, this is something which is very relevant to majority of us in the spiritual field or so-called spiritual field. This, Kurute Ganga Sagara Gamanam Vratapariphalana Matavad. One who proceeds where Ganges meets ocean strictly observes vows or is charitable. You know, this Padayatra. A lot of these people, they pilgrimages, Padayatra, they do all this. Now see, please understand, when these things are being spoken about, he's not condemning all this. He's only trying to say mechanically doing these things will not work. Even, I think in our class here, this particular class, we have never gone for a retreat so far. But in my other classes, we do go for retreats. Almost every year we go for one retreat. Now, what I came to know, I don't get involved in organizing this retreat. Some class member organizes. I go and lecture, everybody else comes. That's all. So, when these retreats are organized, what I came to know is, they want to have retreats every year in different places. I said, what? I don't understand this. Because once they said, let's go to this, somewhere near the Shimla. Kasoli or something like that. There. And then, next year when they were suggested, when I said, let's go to the same place, it was nice, calm. They said, no sir, let's go to some other place. Then they took me to Varanasi. What I came to know is, they want to sightsee. Vedanta is only excuse. Listen, there is nothing wrong in sightseeing, but why you want to have Vedanta as an excuse for that? You want to go for sightseeing, please go and do it. Who is saying it's wrong or right? It's your personal choice. But why do you want to use Vedanta for that? You know, people want to just keep going around. As if, you know, if you go and stay there, everything will become fine. It should be done with bhav. If there is no bhav, what is the use? You can be sitting in mandir, but the bhav is not there. So that's what he's saying. One proceeds where Ganges meets ocean. Strictly observing the vows of religious practices, and they're very they do a lot of charity. Which is very good. But if you do it mechanically, what's the use? Whether you do charity or you practice these religious vows, you know, like fasting, maunam, these are all very good. But if they are done mechanically, it will not fetch you the result it should fetch you. So one proceeds that Ganges meets ocean, strictly observes vows or is charitable. 100 life thus, he exaggerates. 100 doesn't mean 100. 100 means any number of life like that when you live. Bereft of knowledge. Jnana vihinaha. Remember this. Jnana vihinaha. Very, very important. If that line is not there, it's a problem. Bereft of knowledge, jnana vihinaha. If there is no knowledge of the higher, if there is no awareness of the self, no way to liberation by all beliefs. Sarva matena muktinna bhajati janmashatena. Janmashatena means hundreds of lives. Muktinna bhajati. There is no way of liberation. How? Without knowledge. Jnana vihina. And it's not only in Vedanta we say that. Sarva matena. Mata means opinion. See, this is another thing we need to understand. The difference between Mata and Vedanta. Vedanta is Sanatana Dharma. Vedanta is not given by one individual. There are so many sages, galaxies of sages and saints. We don't know many of their names also. So, it doesn't belong to one person. Any knowledge given by one person to a particular set of people at a particular time, which not necessarily fit in to all people at all times. Some of them, which was given at the time, may fit in today's context. Not necessarily all. They are called Mata. Buddhism. Christianity. All these are called matam. Means opinion of a particular person given to a particular set of people at a particular time. So some of them, what was given at the time is still relevant. But not necessarily all. But when you talk about Sanatana Dharma, Sanatana Dharma means that which is applicable at all periods of time. Only that is called Sanatana Dharma. Everything else is Mata. So, in every different Mata given by many people, everybody has said the same thing. Finally, knowledge alone gives you emancipation. Nothing else. So therefore, he says, mechanically if you follow the rituals, A lot of people have this satisfaction. I've done the ritual. And I've done with this, supposing 7 pujaris have to be called, 5 have to be called, 10 has to be called. I've done for 21 days. I've done that. I will get punya. I have done what I have to do. So, that per se will not give you liberation. That may give you maximum ticket to heaven. And in fact, if you're intelligent, you don't want ticket to heaven. You don't want any ticket. You know, tickets to heaven means what? Heaven is another temporary abode. You go there and come back again. So why you want to go to another temporary abode? So therefore, what you want is permanent liberation. And if you want permanent liberation, it cannot be brought about merely mechanically following rituals. So he's not condemning rituals. He's only saying, don't follow mechanics. See, there is one particular Swami in South India. He talks in Tamil. He can speak very good English. He's actually a chartered accountant. He's doing a great service. And that Swami, he has this retreats organized every year. And I think for his retreats, maybe thousands of people go. They go in different buses and they go in. What he does is, he takes them all, once he will take them all on the path which Lord Rama, Lakshmana, Mata Sita were walking. So he will trace the path and go. Everybody goes with them and they'll have arrangements to stay here and there. And they'll stay and he will teach them in those places. He will discuss the stories where they sat, where he had that from Shabari, where he met, this person, what happened there. He will give those stories and he'll explain the philosophy. He's doing a great service. So, when you go through such pilgrimages, when you go through such retreats, it develops a beautiful bhavana, bhakti, along with knowledge. So, those things will help you. Mechanically, you go to pilgrimage and then quickly you do, 3-4 circumambulation and then say, oh, okay, my job is done. Now, where can I have good meal now? Now, this kind of a mechanical ritual will not work. That's all he's saying. So, Kurute Ganga Sagara Gamanam Ratapari Palana Matava Dhanam. This dhanam is another thing. A lot of people, when they grow old, they find themselves suddenly becoming very guilty. Because all their life, it's not everyone, but many of them, they have just been living selfishly. So, all the time aggrandizing, indulging, maximum for their family, nothing else. Beyond family, nobody thinks. So they suddenly start feeling this guilt feeling comes. They have approached old age. So now in the old age, now everybody starts getting into this religious, this thing, that thing. Those who are inclined towards studying, reflecting, they come to our kind of approach. Those who can't to study, reflection, they go to bhakti, pilgrimages or, many other ways, which is also fine. But you will see them suddenly getting into a lot of dhanam they do. Because now they want to earn more and more punya. So, again, it's like, whole life I lived taking. Now I want to give, so that I develop punya. I want to compensate for it. Get the knowledge once you understand that you are the Atma, which is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. The Kartrutva and Bhoktrutva goes. Instant liberation right there. It doesn't matter how much of a papi you were. You remember in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Sri Krishna, you could consider yourself the worst of all papis. Yet, if you gain knowledge, instantly you will gain liberation. But that knowledge will come to you only if you are prepared for it. Without preparation, if you listen to the knowledge, you can listen to any number of lectures, you can read any number of books, you can go to any gurus, any different languages it can be in, doesn't matter. With preparation, when you gain the knowledge, with the knowledge, when you practice these things, they are even, the effect is very good. So therefore, one should follow these things. To whatever extent one can. I'm not saying you should follow, doesn't mean whole day goes in only just following rituals. To whatever extent, whatever you're inspired, one or two or three or ten, whatever you are comfortable, follow them. But it should not be mechanical. An ounce of practice is better than ocean of theory. So you can know many things, but what matters is practice. So even if you follow one religious practice with awareness, with knowledge, that will do. That is the message given in verse number 17. So in 17, he made it very clear that the main thing is knowledge. Without knowledge, it will not work. Now, in 18, another student is giving a positive approach. What will help? So he says, Suramandirataru Mulani Vasaha Shaya Bhutala Majinam Vasaha. Suramandirataru Mulani Vasaha Shaya Bhutala Madinam Vasaha. Sarva Parigraha Bogatyagaha. Kasya Sukam Nakaroti Viragaha. Sarva Parigraha Bogatyagaha. Kasya sukam na karoti viragah. Suramandirataru mulani vasah. Shayabhutalam ajinam vasah. Sarva parigraha bogatyagah. Kasya sukam na karoti viragah. Now, with the knowledge, if you follow a simple life, that will work. That's what he's saying here. Suramandira Taru Mula Nivasaha. Dwelling under the tree in temple, a conducive environment, leading a simple lifestyle in a conducive environment. Dwelling under the tree, again, no particular home, no possessiveness, no possessions, leading a simple life. But in a conducive atmosphere of temple, sleeping on the ground. Then he says, wearing skin. Wearing skin, this is another problem. So all these fellows were killing animals and wearing them or what? Wearing skin means, the dead animals are there when they were living in the forest. So they take the skin. Again, what it means is, living with barest minimum. Focus is not on all these things, how I look, their beauty, who is to judge your beauty? This is another big problem. I don't know if any of you saw that documentary in Netflix. It is called The Social Dilemma. If you have not seen it, you must see it. It talks about this addiction to smartphones and many things more, algorithms, how they kind of made a slave. It's a fascinating documentary. So, there it talks about, how due to this involvement and addiction in the social media, how the people have lost their self-worth. Somebody must say, you look great. And the great also is not, you look great, no. Very great. The great has to go like 1,000 miles. Then only your self-worth is retained. Now, what kind of level that people have fallen into, So he says, wearing skin means the attention is not on this body, mind, intellect. That's some basic. You are living in a society. You need some clothes. You need some food to eat, a place to sleep. That's all. Basic needs. Take care of the basic needs so that there is no headache. Then you can concentrate and do your sadhana. You can do your work. So therefore he says, dwelling under tree in temple, sleeping on the ground, wearing skin, renouncing all possessions and enjoyment. whenever in Vedanta they talk about renouncing all possessions and enjoyments, remember this, renouncing possessions and enjoyments per se has no meaning if there is possessiveness. So therefore, renouncing all possessions means renouncing the possessiveness. The me and the mine. Jo hai, wo Bhagwan ka hai. Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera? What did you bring into this world? In fact, a lot of people ask, I think it's given by these ISKCON people. They have that small gist of Gita. Everywhere they have this stuck gist of Gita. What did you bring? What did you take? All these things. So they ask me, where is it directly given in Gita? The gist. They are themselves saying gist. Why it has to be given directly anywhere? What they are saying is, just observe your life. What did you bring into this universe? You bring nothing, you take nothing. Everything is given here, right here. In fact, even in that same documentary, Social Dilemma, he talks about it. Today, a dead tree, a dead whale contributes for your economy, not a living tree or a living whale. You make money when the whale is dead, when the tree is dead. So the whole world is focusing on extraction. Today our economy is growing through extraction. If I become smart, all these smartphones and this social media, every all loaded, they say, all apps loaded, sir, free. When you buy the phone, apps are loaded. You don't have to pay anything for it. Now, what are they doing? What are you actually paying? How are you paying them when they give you things free? You are paying through your attention. They want your attention. That's all. A person who can have clear attention, who has no distraction, who has no attention deficiency, is not an asset for them. They don't make money from that fellow. Only a fellow who has attention deficiency, they make money. Because, especially you'll have these notifications, every time there's a message coming or this sound comes, and then you have that impatience to immediately see what it is. Quickly you want to see, who's messaged me? It's an addiction. So the more time you spend in those phones, the more money they make from advertisements. So, you are actually paying to them by selling your attention. And over a period of time, you stop having any attention span whatsoever. Zero. So, it's beautifully talked about there. The whole economy seems to be based on extraction. I have to do all these MBAs and this and that so that I come up with some theory how I can extract. So every Thursday when I come and give you this knowledge, I must somehow extract from you. Then my economy will grow. So everybody is extracting from each other. That is why a living tree or a living whale doesn't contribute for the economy. It has to be dead. Kill the trees. Kill the whale. Kill this. Kill that. Make money. An elephant is alive. You don't make any money. Kill the elephant so that you get the ivory and you can make money. So the whole thing is, economy is growing out of destruction. Because of the mind not having higher values, not thinking correctly. Where you think artha kama, dharma itself is enough. Artha kama is only for transactional purpose. Ultimately it's moksha, a proper thinking. When you have this knowledge, you can never do such things. Impossible. Impossible. So, renouncing all possessions and enjoyments. No possessiveness. No possessiveness means absolutely no sense of ownership. Everything belongs to the nature or Lord. Nothing is mine. I have been entrusted. I'm a trustee. this trusteeship attitude should be there. With the trustee, as a trustee, you have to take care of things. That's what the meaning of trustee means. You take care. You have no problem in meeting them, contacting them. You don't shun the contact. But there is no sense of ownership. Trusteeship, you take care. Responsible, you go through, but no sense of ownership. To him will not dispassion bring happiness. So a person who lives this way with that knowledge and awareness that he talked about in the previous words and leads a simple life like this will not the true dispassion. Bhoga tyaga, true dispassion bring happiness. So in other words, the happiness is there only in dispassion. In dispossession there is happiness. In possessiveness there is no happiness. Once you learn this, you will drop the attachment. Isavasya Upanishad says, Isavasya Midam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bunjita Magrida Kasya Sudha. May you enjoy through renunciation. Finally it says, may you enjoy through renunciation. Real happiness is in dispossession, dispossessiveness. Attachment takes away all the joy. You can't enjoy thereafter. The fellow who is attached doesn't enjoy. So that's why Swami says only two fellows enjoy in the world. One is Swamis and the other is son-in-laws. You go on working and acquiring. Your son-in-law will come and sit in the house and he will enjoy it. He is a smart fellow. He is there. Hey, this fellow has worked so much. Why should I go to work? And Swamis who come to lecture in your town, say, Swami, I have a house there. Please stay there. You yourself would have not visited that house. I don't know. Once in 10 years, 20 years, you go and live there. But you have something. So you say, Swami, please go stay there when you are teaching Bhagavad Gita. Please bless our home. So Swamiji says, only two fellows enjoy all your possessions. One is Swamis, the other is son-in-laws. Fellows who are so busy only going on acquiring doesn't really enjoy. So therefore, he says, if you develop this attitude of trusteeship, dispossessiveness, you begin to enjoy. The more attachment is there, bhaya is there, fear. When you have no attachment, no bhaya, it's called abhayam. Abhayam means no fear. Otherwise, there is constant fear. What will happen? How will you enjoy? You will not enjoy. From the start to finish, you will not be enjoying. So therefore, he says, to such a person, will not dispassion bring happiness? Passionately, when you run after with attachment to the fruit of action, you don't enjoy. On the contrary, when you just lead a simple life with no contact, no action, no knowledge, you don't enjoy. If you have the right contact, simple knowledge, high values. So dwelling under a tree, all these things don't take literally. Dwelling under a tree in temple means spiritual focus, shifting the attention from the world to the self within. That's all. Otherwise, in the world itself, your attention is there. You just want everybody else to become your follower. In fact, you want more following. Huh? Just get out of your house and go sit somewhere quietly. It's very difficult, not easy to do that. If you do that, you will suddenly find so many following. And they'll start giving interpretations to everything you do. After half an hour, if you get up, they'll give one interpretation for that. Then if you lie down to sleep, they'll give one interpretation for that. They will make you a big Swami. You don't have to worry. Or you should not open your mouth. The moment you open your mouth, everything will be taken away from you. So, it is not living like that. It's leading a simple life with high knowledge. The focus is not in the body, mind, intellect. You don't want the body, mind, intellect to become an obstacle in your pursuit. So, provide basic clothes needed, provided a place needed to sleep, provided little food, provided, that's it. So, all these basic needs are taken care of so that the mind doesn't distract you, disturb you while you are pursuing the other. And you pursue the knowledge. So, for the sake of knowledge, you follow the simple life. That is called dispassion. When you have that kind of mumukshatva for the higher, as a result of the mumukshatva for the higher, mumukshatva means ardent desire to liberate. So, when you have such a mumukshatva for the higher, you lead such a life, will it not give you happiness while living, and it will also help you to liberate. So, for such people, this next verse 19 is a very off-quoted, important verse. So, for such people, it really doesn't matter what kind of a lifestyle they practice, where do they live, because all the time they are only thinking about them. See, remember, it is by constant unintelligent thinking of the world you develop attachment and you get bound to the world. Now, through constant intelligent conscious thinking of the Atma, you liberate. That's all. So, if you wish to rise, you need to ask the question, how did I fall? The fall happens because of constant, unintelligent, mechanical thinking. Going on thinking about the world, you have now bound, you become bound to the world. All those objects that you are attached to now, that attachment didn't start yesterday. Sir, I don't know how many years you've been thinking about it. Now you cannot live without it. Impossible. You are terribly attached. So, by constant, unintelligent, indiscriminate thought flow, we have developed attachment, and those attachments are causing us suffering. So now, if you wish to get rid of those attachments, now you have to do the same thing, but now consciously. So consciously, now you start thinking about something higher. So, in this whole thing that the message given is, lifestyle should be in line with your goal. Per se, lifestyle makes no difference. It doesn't matter. Which is what he's talking about in verse number 19. Very, very important off-quoted verse. Yogaratova, bhogaratova, sangaratova, sangavihinaha. Yogaratova, bhogaratova, sangaratova, sangavihinaha. Yasya brahmani ramate chittam nandati nandati nandateva. Yasya brahmani ramate chittam nandati nandati nandateva. Yogaratova bhogaratova sangaratova sangavihinaha. Yasya brahmani ramate chittam nandati nandati nandateva. Yogaratova bhogaratova. Yoga, bhoga. Yoga means spiritual discipline. Bhoga means worldly indulgence. Yogaratova bhogaratova. Whether you are in yoga or in bhoga. Reveling in spiritual practice or sense enjoyment. Sangaratova sangavihinaha. Sangha means company, attachment, group. Whether you are in company or in seclusion. So, reveling in company or without company. Yogaratova, bhogaratova, sangaratova, sangavihinaha. Reveling in spiritual practice or in material indulgence. Reveling in company or in seclusion, without company. Then he says, yasya brahmani ramate chitta. Rama, ramant means reveling at the thought level, chitta. Ramate chitta. Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chet. At the thought level, he is reveling in Brahman. Who? He who? Yaha. Yasya Abhi Yaha. He who? One who? Whoever. Doesn't matter whether Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, rich, poor, Grahastha, Sannyasi, Vanaprastha, student, doesn't matter. Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chet. The thoughts should revel in Brahman. Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam Nandati Nandati Nandateva. Three times he says. Nandati Nandati Nandati. Eva. He will revel. He will only revel. He will always revel. He will revel. Means what? His life will be full of joy. And to emphasize that, he says it three times. And also what it means is, you will be contacting the world through your body, you will be contacting the world through your mind, you will be contacting the world through your intellect. Whichever equipment you are contacting, the fact that your thoughts is on the self, you enjoy at all three levels. Therefore, he says, Nandati, 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 three times. So in other words, how does it matter whether you are in yoga or bhoga? Now see, when you quote this verse fully, is another problem. They only quote the first line. Yogaratova, Bhogaratova, Sangaratova, Sangavihina. Even Adi Shankara said, how does it matter whether I am in spiritual practice or I am in material indulgence? How does it matter whether I am alone or I am in company? So I can be in anything. You are only quoting the first line. Correct. What you are saying is correct. You are quoting only the first line. What did Adi Shankara say in the second line? Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chitta. Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chitta. So, the thought should be in Brahman. Thought should be in Brahman is the problem. That's not easy. For us, even in Mandir, the thought is on the world. Oh God, last time I prayed to you, you only gave me 50%. This time you should give me fully. You know, but I will only give you this much. But you should give me 100%. All the time my mind is on the world. If your mind can be in Brahman, it doesn't matter what lifestyle you have, whether it's a yoga or bhoga. Bhoga means material indulgence, comforts. Yoga means simple spiritual living. Sangaratova, whether you are in company, you are in the world, you are with people, relatives, friends. Sangavihinaha means you renounce the world, take up sannyas, go and stay alone. These things doesn't matter. Whether you stay alone, you be in company. Does your mind entertain the thoughts of reality? That's what matters. Or you go all alone, stay far away, but the world is what is there in your mind. Then you can't be happy. So happiness, reveling, is directly proportional to identification with reality, detachment to the world. As long as there is even an ounce of attachment to the world, you don't revel. You don't enjoy. In your thoughts, only Brahman should be there. And that comes with constant knowledge and reflection and other spiritual practices. So the other spiritual practices are conducive for you to study the knowledge and reflect. So with this, then your mind will get involved. Mind will get focused in Brahman. Once that you develop, this in your chitta, and Brahman comes, then it doesn't matter. Because a lot of people, they remain in yoga. But the term yoga itself means what? The word yoga comes from the root yuj. Yuj means to unite. So you are in yoga practice as it were, but you are not united to Brahman. What kind of yoga practice is this? So, if a person is in yoga, his thought should be united to Brahman, then he is in yoga. So you can be in bhoga, yet be practicing yoga. If this, what you are practicing today, which is the opposite of what I just now said, which is, what do you practice now? You meet generally people. What do they practice? They are seemingly in yoga, but they are in bhoga. They're thinking about the world. If this is possible, the opposite of it is possible. But there is only one issue between the two. What you are doing now, which is being in yoga outside, but in bhoga inside, is easy. Doesn't require effort. But the opposite requires effort. Being in bhoga, but being in yoga. So therefore, first what do? You be in yoga as it is conducive to develop inner unification, inner practice of yoga. And once you have attained the inner practice of yoga, thereafter it doesn't matter. So don't follow this straight away. Straight away if you say, what does it matter whether I'm in bhoga or not? I'll be thinking of Brahman. When we are sitting in the class only, we are not able to think of Brahman. How can we think of Brahman when we are in indulgence? To be able to think of Brahman while you are in indulgence, you should be at a very high level of development. So, before coming to verse number 19, you should first follow verse number 9 properly. What did verse number 9 say? Satsangatve nissangat. Nissangatve nirmohatve. Nirmohatve nischalatatve. Nischalatatve jivan. So first follow satsang. Don't follow verse number 19 mechanically. Follow satsang through that develop the strength. Then to a person who is all the time thinking of Brahman, for such a person it doesn't matter. Because even when he is in an environment which is extremely unconducive, he will only be thinking of Brahman. He can't think of anything else because he's developed internally. So, yogaratova, bhogaratova, sangaratova, sangadihinaha. Yes, Brahmani Ramateji. So, first make sure in thoughts there is Brahman. Then lifestyle doesn't matter. The problem in the world is, we think per se a lifestyle we call a spiritual nonsense. We consider a person as sensual. On what basis? Because all the time he is in sense world. Another person very spiritual. Why? All the time he is sitting in front of the Lord. But what is he entertaining in his mind? Do you even know what is entertaining in his mind? So therefore he says, Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam Nandati Nandati Nandati. Fix your attention from the world to God and continue being in the world with trusteeship, then you begin to enjoy. Let's conclude the class. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Udhyatmanava Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami. Hari Om. See you all next week. Hari Om.